Pandemics.
It's recording, Rebbe.
What's recording, Rebbe?
It's a recording, Rebbe.
Rebbe, where are we?
We're talking, we're talking about flying people.
Like Bilam?
We didn't finish.
Bilam
didn't say in the Gemara that he flew. We didn't finish.
I'm far behind.
Yashka.
What?
In the basin flew higher.
I missed a couple of days.
Okay. So the Gemara's talking about a stage. It's giving us a little slice out of what's going to be in Yemais Mashiach. It's talking about a stage that before the grand Tchias HaMeisim for the entire world, there's going to be Tchias HaMeisim for Tzaddikim, select Tzaddikim. And they're going to have Tchias HaMeisim in Olam Hazeh. They're going to come to life in Olam Hazeh. So it's a pre-Tchias HaMeisim, Tchias HaMeisim. And the Gemara says that those tzaddikim that come back to life, when the rest of the world comes to life, they're going to be alive already. They don't have to die again and come back to life with the rest of the world. They did that already. Been there, done that. So Gemara wants to know, so what's going to be with them? The whole world is going to return to dust and come back to life. And these tzaddikim already came back to life. So what's going to be with them? That's Gemara's question. And Gemara addresses this. It answers that they're going to have a physical body, whatever body they're going to have after the Tchias HaMeisim, the pre-Tchias HaMeisim. But their physical body is going to go through changes. That's what the Gemara says. And from the Gemara, the description that the Gemara gives of what changes they're going to go through, so then you see a couple things. One thing is that the changes their body is going to go through is compared to wings. That's thing number one. Thing number two, the changes their body is going to go through is going to enable them to exist in a world where anything which is familiar to us has been destroyed. And number three, that their existence is going to be effortless, and it's described as flood is going over the water.
And there's no Yetzirah then.
Yeah, that's way before even in time.
So why would they? What do they gain from existing at that point that we don't exist? That others don't exist.
They're enjoying themselves. That's gaining. They're enjoying themselves.
Okay, that works.
They don't earn any reward. That's over. That's what they're going to. So we spoke about most of it. We spoke about wings.
We
said wings is this world. Akash Baruch is going to make wings. Were you here yesterday?
Was I here yesterday?
No. Honestly, missed out on that piece. When the Gemara says Akash Baruch is going to fashion wings for the Tzaddikim, so we have to look at that in terms of what wings mean to us. It's a mashal. What do wings mean to us? Wings enable a bird to put distance between it and the ground.
Put distance what?
Between the bird and the ground. Wings enable the bird to put distance between it and the ground. Now, what does ground represent? I mean, this is the way you want to understand a Gemara like this. The tools are within our reach. You just have to break it up into its parts. And what is the Gemara trying to tell us? What does ground represent? Ground represents something that doesn't do anything. Ground doesn't do anything. Things are done in the ground. That's the function of ground. Things are done in the ground. They're done on top of the ground. They're built on the ground. You exist on the ground. You plant in the ground. Things come out of the ground. Ground doesn't do anything. You know, the heavens, for example, rain comes down from the heavens. The heavens do things. You know, they do things. Sunlight comes down, moonlight, starlight, gravitational pull. The moon exerts its gravitational pull on the waves. Things come down from Shemayim. So Shemayim does things. Shemayim is a pile. And ground is a recipient. It doesn't do anything.
Well, what do you mean? You can't grow plants out of concrete. So you need
ground. I know. There's going to be, you know, ground. I said ground doesn't do anything. Things are done in it.
So the same thing you can say about rain. Rain is done in heaven, but it's clouds, really.
No, it comes down. That's an action.
Grow up is not an action?
No. No, because you have to put the seed in. It reacts. The ground will do nothing unless the ground only reacts. You have to put a seed in. If you don't put the seed in, nothing grows. And so it rains, you don't do anything. It just comes. You don't have to do anything.
Well, you don't have to put a seed in. The seed just falls off.
A seed has to be put in. Yeah, seeds have to be put in. Rain just comes. Shemayim does, and ground doesn't do. Ground reacts. Shemayim is proactive, and ground is reactive. People have midas. The midas have names to it. People have midas that are ground midas. I mean, you have a nature that's similar to the ground because we have it's a positive nature. When I say positive, I don't mean beneficial. I mean, it's not like a vacuum or a void. It's a positive negative. There's a nature in a person to be non-productive. We all recognize this nature. Person has a nature. Every person has a nature within him to be non-productive, to be inactive. Some people have it more than others. In the Lashon of the Chachmei HaUmos, it's called Earth. I mean, the astrologers, they separate people into one of four categories. Earth, fire, water, and wind. The four Yesidus. I think the sources of this deep in Torah, but then just, and each one of these elements has a nature to it. Earth is, in Yiddish you call it Zlob. You know what a zlob is in Yiddish? You should know what a zlob is. What's a zlob?
Lazy,
non-productive, couch potato. He sits there during the time. Everyone's got to come bring food. It's like you have this tremendously huge creature that just sits there, and all the creatures and all his subjects come and bring him food, you know. He just gets fatter and fatter and fatter and feeds off everything and doesn't do anything. And then there's wind. Wind does, you know. What do you call a wind that doesn't move? It's not called a wind. So you know what that tells you about a wind? That tells you that the movement for a wind defines its very existence. Wind blowing is not something that a wind does. Blowing is something that a wind is. So then you have people that are active. They go from one place to the other. You know. Then you have fire. Fire consumes. You have water. Okay. And people are made up of all four elements, and they have different mixtures. And the astrologers, they can determine based on the person's date of birth what the proportion is of the four elements in them. And the precision is scary. Finding the precision, you know.
It works?
Sure, it works to a degree. It's general. But it's in Chazal. It's all Chazal. It works to a degree. I'm not talking about the horoscope columns in the newspaper. That's very general. It's extremely general. That's, you know, that's worthless. They all sound the same. You know, yeah. But when you go really deep, and the source is entire, there is entire for these things, the site is entire. This nature, which we're calling Earth, to be non-productive, Hashem didn't create that nature for it to be that way forever. That's to be a challenge to us. Hashem challenges us by giving us different natures because we have to overcome it. But the goal is not to remain unproductive. Chas v'shalom, a person shouldn't say to himself, well, I have an unproductive nature, so God must want me to be unproductive, so I'll just sit here. That's plain wrong. And many people succumb to this. I'm lazy. So I'm lazy. Like that's an excuse. I remember my mashkiach used to give it to me when I used to get into fights. You know, I tell him, I have a temper. So he's saying, so what? So you have a temper, so? I have a temper. What do you want from me? I have a temper.
Who?
My mashkiach, my mashkiach. I like him now.
What's his name?
I like him now.
Okay.
So, you know, there's many ways we could put the following sentence. You know, what is our task of life on this earth? There's so many ways we could put it. But right now, for our purposes, just to understand, our task on this earth is that the active parts of us should overcome the pull of the non-active parts of us. The time a person leaves this world, he should have done it by then, you know. Overcome laziness and non-productivity and stay. And that includes everything, because that includes staying away from destructive influences, because those are non-productive. And you're being drawn towards the most productive things. So this is really all-inclusive. Productivity and non-productivity. Which brings into clearer focus the muscle of the wings of the bird, because the wings of the bird, They keep the bird away from the earth. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes wings for tzaddikim,
why don't we tzaddikim?
Your definition of tzaddikim and the Gemara's definition of tzaddikim are two different things. Tzaddikim are the ones that deserve to be brought to life. Tzaddik means that they're righteous in judgment. They emerged righteous in judgment.
So that's anybody who's going
to
be...
They're passing to him that he deserves to live forever.
Isn't that anybody who goes through tchias?
No, there's certain tzaddikim that they have a special skill to come to life even during the Mercy Mashiach. They're called Kevei Hashem. We didn't go into it then. There's certain tzaddikim. Why didn't we go into it? Because we didn't have time. Today, will we have time? I'll see.
I hope so.
You can go into every single word.
Rabbi Shapiro does that.
Rabbi Shapiro, yeah, the Rabbi does that. But I want to learn about the Gemara about Yechezkel.
Rabbi, it sure doesn't have to end so quickly.
It's never going to end, but I want, you know. It's very long.
Yeah?
It's very long. We're not going to get
it's
very
the last parak, right?
It's the last
Chodesh, right? It's the 11th parak.
Weiter? So when the Gemara says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to fashion wings for the tzaddikim, that means that he's going to give them a nature. But their nature has nothing to do with physicality. Their relationship with physicality is like the relationship of the eagle to the ground.
During Yemos HaMashiach?
No, this is when Hashem is following Yemos HaMashiach. And what comes to mind when you think of something which is diametrically opposed to the ground, that has the least to do with the ground, that spends the least amount of time? An eagle. No, I'm talking about Nivra.
Oh.
An ego has the least connection, the minutest relationship with the ground, because it's always high up. That's the nature of an ego. Ego, its nature is to soar. That's its natural state. Why does it fly so high? Just because it can? That's not the reason why. It flies so high because its nature is to get away from the ground. So the tzaddikim at that time are going to have that nature. The non-productive nature, that's going to be gone. The war is over. It's won. You know, they died already. They came back to life. And their body is going to be... Now, just to set the record straight, a person has a body and a soul. The soul has the nature of the Shemayim. The body is the nature of the arts. The soul wants to be productive. The body doesn't want the soul to be productive. So that means that the bodies of the tzaddikim are going to have the natures of the soul.
Really? What are their four requirements for someone to be coming back then? Like, it must be different for someone from every generation.
I'll answer that when I finish this. That's what you asked me before. You asked me that before.
Can anybody achieve that goal as long as they have their complete potential?
No. Yes. I don't know. Complete potential? That would be nice to be able to say that you could do that.
Most.
I don't know anybody who could do that. But it's a goal.
I mean, some are...
Complete potential?
Not complete, like... most. Lot. Majority.
Yeah.
very high up. Oh, yeah, even though you're not as great as somebody else.
Right, you don't have to measure yourself against right. someone
else. Emotional, both beautiful potential, therefore considered.
Now, once the body takes on the nature of the soul, in this world, what does the soul eat? Does the soul eat bread?
Soul eats Torah.
We've said this before, that everything in creation has two parts to it, the physical part and the spiritual part, which means that bread also has two parts to it. There's a physical part and there's a spiritual part. When you eat bread, your body gets nourishment from the physical part and your soul gets nourishment from the spiritual part. What's the spiritual part of bread? Because Hashem said that bread should be, and it was. Anything in creation was brought into creation by Hashem saying it should be.
We learned today in Gemara that lechem and yayin, one is connected like halacha and regular.
That's
Torah
cool.
And yayin is connected
Yeah, that's cool. So Hashem said that bread should come into being, and it was. So the physical bread, that nourishes the body. And the word of God, the words that God said when he created them, those words are the nourishment of the neshama. The neshama is nourished by the word of God. And it's a pasuk. Ki lo yalachim levado yichye ha'adam. Man does not live by bread alone. Ki al kol motzei pi Hashem. He lives by what comes out of the mouth of Hashem. It's a pasuk. We do live because of bread, but not by bread alone. The body gets in the bread, the neshama gets in the word of God. Okay? Clear? Weiter. Lasad Lavai, the body's no longer going to get nourishment from physical bread. And it's a good thing, because there won't be any physical bread, because Hashem's going to destroy all the physical bread. Then the body will be changed, and it will be able to get nourishment from things that are not physical. That's pshat in the Gemara. Of the wings. Seder? Now you wanted to know... who's going to be zeka to this? The difference is, other people also can get kiyas amazing, but in this stage, they're not around. These tzaddikim are going to be in this world. And other people, they're going to be in the new world that Hashem makes afterwards. Mm-hmm. It's a special supposed to be, to once they come to life, to live forever. Hi, how are you doing? Tamid HaKacham Marais. That's what you say. Lomde Marais. And the answer to that is, in order to get the schus to have your body in Olam Haba, that's basically what this is. To have your body in Olam Haba, to schlep the body along to Olam Haba, even during the time when the world is karuv. So then there had to be the way they live their life, there had to be some way to the way they live their life, that even in Olam Haza they were in Olam Haba. Some manner of living their life. Even in Olam Haza, they were in Olam Haba. You know what I mean?
When they were living.
Yeah,
in Olam Haza.
So even in Olam Haza, they were in Olam Haba. So then even in Olam Haba, they get to be in Olam Haza. And that's about as far as I could go. I'm sure you can go much further, but I'm very, very limited in these things. Extremely limited. They hover over the water. What does it mean to hover over the water? You want to know about that also, probably. They hover over the water. What's water? Water is something that has no form. Whatever form you put it in, it assumes, You put it in a circular ball, hey, it's a circle. And you pour it into a square ball, hey, it's a square. I thought it was a circle. And you put it into a triangular ball, hey, how'd the square become a triangle? There's no... And that's not a good thing. It's interesting about water. There's so many good things about water, and there's so many bad things about water. Chazal, they use water. But now we're talking about the bad thing of water. Being formless, is the same thing as being... I'll give you an example. You ever play with Silly Putty? You know what you could do with Silly Putty? You could make any shape you want out of Silly Putty. You can make an elephant. You can make an obelisk. You can make any shape you want. And not only that, you could make it into a ball. You could bounce it. It bounces. And you could put it on a comic strip and you could
make a copy.
Lift it up. Of course, the words are going to be backwards. It's okay. There's just no, the fun in Silly Putty is that it's never locked in. Whatever it is, it doesn't have to be that way. You could change it. Never locked in. And a Silly Putty could be called, in some ways, an Isha Zaina. Designer. That means, this guy, that guy, there's no design. Silly Putty is Pasha designer.
So we shouldn't buy
water.
No.
Water is an example. It's the prime example. Because even Silly Putty has more of a form than water. Water is the prime example of something which is formless. When you refer to water that way, that's not a good thing.
Why?
Formless things don't produce. Formless things allow others to produce in them. Silly Putty doesn't do anything. It waits for somebody to come. Somebody else to have an idea or a concept what he wants Silly Putty to be. And then someone else imposes his idea on Silly Putty. Does this sound familiar? Goof. Couch potato. Zlub. Zlub. Z.
Schlub or
H-
club?
Zlub. Z-H-L-O-B. Zlub. Zlub. So, in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, when the Kadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the world, when the Kadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the world, there's not going to be any form in the world. The world is going to be formless. But these tzaddikim are not a part of that. They have a form.
On Earth, though?
It's an interesting combination that they're existing within an existence that's formless,
but they have
with
a
their
form?
Forms.
Isn't that
why?
How they were when they were alive?
Similar. Because Olam Haza is formless. That was a good cop on your part, Yosef.
Thank
good
you.
Cop. And it's, we can't even imagine what this is, but let's try at least understand the words. So that's shutting up their mind. They're over the water. The world is formless, but they have the wings, and the wings enable them not to be part of the formlessness. So you see the wisdom of Chazal, how they said things. It has to give us a tremendous respect to any Agadah Gemara, because we have no idea. And every word is so packed, and there's nothing here that, what do we have to say this for? What is this, Pegasus, An email program?
Terrible program.
What?
No, Pegasus is an email program.
Now the Gemara had multiple proofs, multiple sources to the Kiyas HaMeisim in the Torah. And the Gemara is a kasha. Why don't we learn from this one? This is a fascinating Gemara. Why don't you learn out from the dead people the Yecheskel brought to life? You ever heard of the famous dry bones? Ezek, dry bones. Because Baruch Hu brought Ezekiel, Yecheskel HaNavi, to a valley, the valley of Dura. And he said, Yecheskel, what do you see? He said, I see some dry bones. Hashem said, put my word upon the bones, and they came back to life.
What does that mean, put my word upon the bones?
Who knows? Well, we have to learn the Gemara first.
Okay.
That question should be asked later. It's going to be addressed. I apologize. I never answer a question if I could push it off.
He wrote it on a shard of pottery.
You and that shard of pottery.
Hey.
So the Gemara says that, why don't you learn out from the... You want to know Tchias HaMeisim. Tchias HaMeisim is... It's in the Torah. Why do you have to have Ramazim, Aaron HaKayin? That means he's going to come back to life and you give it to him. Right? They have more people to life. Savalei Kamandi Yamar Be'emes Mashal Haya. The Gemara holds that it was truly a mashal.
What, the bones?
Yes. It was clearly a marshal. Hashem wanted Yechezkel HaNavi. He was showing a prophetic vision. The Klal Yisrael is in Galus, and they're going to go to Galus, and being in Galus is like being dead. But they're going to come out. So Hashem is showing Yechezkel.
Why in a valley?
The valley is important, but I just like to, you know, let's just say the valley is important. It is, it's a very important factor of this valley. It's a low place. Vamas Marshal, in truth it was a marshal, it's clearly a marshal, the Sanya. They stood on their feet. And they said Shira. And then they died.
What was the point
to them? To say Shira. That's a Kiddush Hashem. I'm honest, what's your question? There's no point to dead people coming up and saying Shira, even if they die afterwards? Tremendous Kiddush Hashem. In order to understand that
that's
more...
That's a good enough point to revive them for?
You have to understand what Shira is, okay? My Shira, I mean, what Shira do they say? Hashem Amos, Hashem brings death upon his creatures, but tzedek, and righteousness. In other words, if they died, they died b'tzedek. They had no tainus. They deserved to die. And Hashem's great compassion, even though they deserved to die, in Hashem's great compassion, they came back to life. They said this Shira. Hashem Amos, Hashem brings death upon people, others, all. Mechaya brings to life. Mayu Chal brings people down to the grave. Ayon brings them up. The Yehuda Ima Emes. Marshal Haya. It's truth. And it's a parable. Amalei Reb Nechemya. Im Emes, if it's true, Lama Marshal. Then how could you say it's a marshal? A marshal means it's not true. A marshal, if it's a marshal, I'm Emes, then why is it true? So he changes it. Instead of saying Emes marshal, which means truth parable, he says El Bit Emes. He puts a base there, Bit Emes marshal. Means it's clearly a marshal. Bit Emes is a description of marshal. It's not two separate things, Emes and marshal. It's Bit Emes marshal here. Rabbi Elazar ben Yishev Yisei Galili Emma, what does he say, Rabbi Elazar? Meisim Shechi Yecheskel, Olu L'Eretz Yisrael, they went to Eretz Yisrael. V'nasu Nashim, they got married. There's a third opinion. There's one opinion, it's a marshal.
Who's
there's
this
another.
On now that it's talking about?
There's Rabbi Elazar.
Who went to Eretz Yisrael and got married?
The dead people.
When they came back to life, or this before?
When they came back to life.
Okay.
That's the point. For Nasan Hashem, they came back to life. They married wives. By Lidubanim, Lubanis, and they had sons and daughters. So the other two opinions don't allow them the time to have sons and daughters. According to one opinion, it was a marshal. According to the other opinion, they were only alive to say Shira. So this is the first opinion that there was some continuity, that this Chias HaMesim had a hemshik to it. Amad Rabbi Yehuda B'Seir Al-Raglav, he stood on his feet. Is something which Amorayim and Tanayim did, you know, when they felt that the point had to be brought out, they brought out the point with their body.
How did they do it?
They used their body. They stood on their feet to make the point, because he's making a point that you'll see the point. Yeah. He's saying that I'm living proof of this, so that's why he stood up. He's showing the proof. I'm a descendant. I'm from the grandchildren.
Of those people who were resurrected?
Yes, well, Lola Trillin, and these are the Trillin. Sheniach li Avi Abba, which my grandfather left me in my hand. Well, this is a Pella, because the other man, the Yemim, say it never happened. So how did Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira have Trillin from people that it never happened?
And how is he alive?
And how is he alive to say that he has the Trillin? Man in the Mason, Shechi Yecheskel. Who are they? Who were they before they died? A Merav Eilu B'nei Ephraim. Tribe of Ephraim. Shemana Lekates. They counted to the end. Ritzias Mitzrayim. They counted 400 years. They're coming out of Mitzrayim after 400 years. Vatan, they made a mistake. I mean, they were right about the 400 years, but they started the 400 years early. They're supposed to count the 400 years from when Yitzchak was born, and instead they counted the 400 years from when Hashem told Avraham Avinu that he's going to have children, they're going to go down.
They were killed.
Yeah. Bisman of Basaram. 30 years early. So they went out 30 years early. And everyone told them, don't go, don't go, don't go. And they thought that's the Satan talking. They have to show Amunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, any evidence that there was that they shouldn't go, they saw that as a challenge. And this is an assignment for big people. You know, they want it. They're driven to do a mitzvah. They see the in their eyes it's a Ratzon Hashem to do it. And all evidence to the contrary is an assignment to get them not to do the mitzvah.
That's what they see it as, even though it may be evidence to the contrary.
Yeah, but they didn't see it. They learned wrong shot in the sugya. They made a they made a fatal error in the sugya. V'tavish namer b'nei Ephraim, the children of Ramesh v'Selach, v'Bered, b'nai, v'tachas b'nai, v'alada b'nai, v'tachas b'nai, v'zeved b'nai, v'shuselach b'nai, v'ezev elad, v'harogam anshei gas. The men of Gas killed them. These are Plishtim. Gas is Plishtim. So that's why when Klal Yisrael went out 30 years later, Hashem didn't bring them Eretz Plishtim. Why? Because they had a bad experience. Hashem didn't want to put them through that test. Hashem does not test people beyond their ability, their capacity to pass the test. Uksiva, he's Abel Ephraim Aviyim, Yom Rabim, Ephraim their father was mourning many days. His brothers came to comfort him. That's one opinion of who they were. Shmuel has a different opinion. There's a cemetery that the people that deny Tkiyas HaMesim are buried there. They don't bury them in the regular cemetery. It's like someone's Makal Shabbos, they have a separate section for them. They won't burn them next to it.
Yeah?
It's only if they were executed, though.
Yeah, well, this is different. This is there was a section for people that were kaifer Tkiyas HaMesim. Shnemar v'yemer Eli ben Adam. Yecheskel Navi said to Hashem, v'yemer Eli ben Adam. V'atzama z'ela. These bones, Kol Beis Yisrael, they represent all of Klal Yisrael. It's a sign for all of Klal Yisrael. Hena Aymerim, because they said, in their lifetime they said, Yavshatz Masenu, we're just dry bones. Avdetik Masenu, and there's no hope. Nigzai Milano, it's been decreed, we're going to die and we're never coming back to life. So you see the Pasuk quotes, these people are saying that it's all over. We're just a bunch of dry bones. We're going to end up under a tombstone, and that's where we're going to lie there forever. Eternal rest. There's no tkiyas hameisim. Av detik v'seinu, yav shad v'seinu. There's no hope. There's no moisture in our bones. And Hashem brought them back to life. So he showed Klal Yisrael, and he showed them, not only did he show Klal Yisrael, but he showed the bones themselves that they were wrong. Because he brought back to life the ones that said there is no tkiyas hameisim. Rabbi Yemi Baba has another opinion who they were. They have no life-sustaining moisture. Lachlucha's life-sustaining moisture of mitzvah, because mitzvah nourishes us. So that means you're totally empty. So there's two ways to be totally empty. One is to have no avodas Hashem, and that takes a lot of work to be mamish dried out. And then there's the one shot way of being empty is to be kaifer tkiyas hameisim. That drains everything in one shot. We talked about this when we first started, that there's two ways to get to Olam Haba. One is to have rave mitzvahs, and one is to have a moon and tkiyas hameisim. So this is the opposite of that. These two opinions, that is the converse. They heard the word of Hashem, which means in their lifetime they did not hear the word of Hashem because they didn't have any mitzvahs in them. These are people, sons of man, that they coded, chippos they coded, and they coded, they etched in. They etched in into the walls of the base of Mikdash, and they made some base relief. You know, they had a certain art form, and they etched in.
Why?
They arrived at Vedasara.
In the base of Mikdash.
That's the ultimate. It doesn't. The Vedasara isn't worth anything if you can't do it in the base of Mikdash. You have to capture the flag.
How'd they get there?
I don't know the technical details.
They could have just pretended not to be and then gone and done it.
Shenema? It says in the Pasuk. Ba'avai, and I came. This is the first place of Mikdash. They were Ovid Avodah Zarah. Menashe, HaMelech, was an Ovid Avodah Zarah. He was in control. Menashe HaMelech had an Avodah Zarah brought in. It took 1,000 people to carry it. And he had it brought into the temple compound. And 1,000 people to carry it out. Like, he could have just left it there, but no. He wanted 1,000 people to bring it in and 1,000 people to bring it out, and they died from the strain. So he combined a whole bunch of Averis together. So it's no surprise that they could etch Shavuot Zaras into the Mikdash. The kings were over there. The king, he was like known for Avodah Zarah. Valve, and I came, Be'era, and I gazed. And they call Tavnis, there's all kinds of forms, remes of creepy crawly creatures, a behemoth, and animals and shekels and disgusting things. We call Gilila Beis Yisrael, and the excretions are being disgusting things of Beis Yisrael. The chukal akir drills into the wall. Savif ra, it's a pasuk. Siv Hasimer, when he brought them back to life, it says, Vevirani Aleim, Hashem brought Yecheskel upon them, Saviv Saviv. And these are the people, this is like you have to put some words, and these are the people that put Avodah Zarah all around the base of English. Vevirani Aleim, Hashem brought me on them, Saviv Saviv. Which people am I bringing back to life? The ones that did this, that surrounded the base of English with Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Yechonon Amar, Rabbi Yechonon says on the above pasuk, Eilam Eishim Sheva Bikas Dura, these are the dead ones in the Bika called Dura. We can't stop over here. We'll stop over here. And we'll talk about it tomorrow. Very big subject.
Done?
Yes. Yeah.